You. Welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show, and I am your host, Natasha Monique. Good morning, beautiful people of all shades and colors. Happy Tuesday. Can I just share this with you guys? I was like so tired this morning that my alarm went off. It always goes off at 6, and I'm learning to adjust to that new schedule. So this time when it went off, I was like, let me get up. And so I was so disoriented that I thought that today was Saturday. So I'm like, all right, the alarm went off, but I can go back to sleep. And I had to really get myself together and realize, like, bitch, no, it's Tuesday. You got to get up. It's time for work. So I got up and started straightening up. And I don't know, it just made me think about motherhood, because it's like, yo, me time is so valuable, because my goal is to get up at least an hour earlier than I need to be for work and just work on whatever it is that I want to work on. And sometimes the reality is I'm going to get up that hour earlier just to straighten up. Dad does an amazing job with trying to straighten up and with our son, but Bakari is a very active 16-month-old, like very, very active. Like from the time he opened those eyes, the time he fight the nap to go to sleep, or just when it's time to go to bed, he be turned up. So I know that dad, you know, needs help. So I try to jump in when I can. Dad is usually the one that cleans, because he thoroughly cleans everything. Ever since I was a kid, I just have not been a fan of cleaning up. And what I realized is that as I got older, actually what I realized in my 30s is that because I have anxiety and OCD, they conflict from time to time, because I like things in order. But with the anxiety, I'm like, where does this go? Should I put this here? Should I put this here? Like, I can't even begin to explain it, but I'm owning it and it's okay. So whereas I'll put something in an odd place, dad will put it in a place where I guess most people would. So so we just let dad do most of the cleaning. But when I get in my zone, I will clean. And dad likes when I get in my zone, because he like, oh, yeah, you cleaned up. Thanks. I'm the cook. That's what I do. I am the cook. Dad cooks, but dad know how to cook, but I just have a different type of love for cooking food. So dad kind of fell back and was like, I'll let you do that, because that's your thing, and that's your self-care, and hell, you still feed me and the baby. So do you, and I'll stick to the cleaning. But I did have that revelation, like, bruh, the reason why you don't like cleaning up is you freaking get anxiety about where stuff is supposed to go. And honestly speaking, I didn't really have to clean up as a kid. My mom didn't really make me, I would say. Like, my cousins would clean up when they would come over my house. They would clean up for me. And I would, like, play with the papers on my desk and act like I was doing something. I'm not going to lie to you. When it comes to certain things, what I definitely learned is that all women are different. You know, some women are like straight, super duper clean all the time, and they're into home decor, and you know, they'll make their house look nice, and I love those things. On Pinterest, like, I'm obsessed with like looking up like nice apartments and decorating for even purchasing a house. Like, I look up all that stuff. I'm into all that stuff, but it's just for me finding a time to do that, because for so long I've engulfed myself in positions that just took a lot of my time, and it wasn't because of me, because you just gotta know how to separate and compartmentalize things, and I'm learning that now. So now I'll start getting into, you know, decorating and all that stuff, but that really wasn't my zhuzh. And I used to feel bad, because I felt like as a woman and as a mother, I'm supposed to do this and this, and it's like, no, everybody is different. And honestly, I lean more so on the masculine side when it comes to certain things. because I was raised with my dad and my brothers. So it is what it is. But I'm learning to own that you are who you are and don't feel bad about it. And that is what this episode is about. Lessons learned and not being so hard on yourself. Well, on myself. I'll go back and forth between y'all and me. We're in this together. But I definitely learned not to be so hard on myself, because, you know, we get this perception of what we think we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to carry ourselves and how we see other people. And, you know, that is it's exhausting, especially because we're taught, brown people, because I know I had the same conversations with a lot of my Hispanic friends, and their parents said the same thing. You know, when you're walking out the house, you're representing me. So don't act a fool, and you keep that with you. And on top of just knowing, as a black woman, as a black man, as a brown woman, as a brown man, you have to carry yourself a certain type of way. And you're always going to have to do things 10,000 times as hard as other races, just because it's just hard. So, you know, just knowing that it can be overwhelming. It can be. And at some point, you just got to say to yourself, all right, these are things I know that I'm definitely going to have to bust my ass to get accomplished. But for some of those things, a lot of it just be us in our heads. It really be us in our heads. And it be us feeling like we have to impress people. And I feel like, stay with me, y'all. I'm trying to pull this all together, because sometimes I just be in my head. And I feel like a part of it is because for generations, you know, we felt like we've been taught that we have to, again, like I was just saying, we just have to be this. We have to be perfect. That's really what it boils down to. Perfection. That's what some of us get the anxiety from, because you're like, I gotta represent my mom, my grandma, when I walk up out of this house. And you feel like you gotta be so perfect that you don't give room for error. You don't give room for mistakes. And I know for me personally, that took a toll on me, because I thought that I had to do everything and be everywhere for everybody. And once I got pregnant with my son, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And I never realized how much I neglected my partner and my child, because I was just so focused on everything else and everybody else. Black folk, brown folk, we're very family oriented. Like, we are, it's just within us. We're taught that. It's our culture. But a lot of us, most of us, get so engulfed in our family. We get so sucked in and trying to fix their problems and worrying about this and worrying about that. And it's like, nonsense. I'm telling these people, grown as hell. How you focus on them? You need to be focused on you. We feel like we're obligated to be there, and it sucks us dry. And we have nothing for ourselves, and sometimes we have nothing for our own family. And that was me. That was me. And once I switched positions and I really had the opportunity to be present with my partner, with my child, I realized how much I was not here. I was here, but I wasn't here, because I was everywhere else mentally and worried about everybody else. And I had to say to myself, when you drop dead, Fred, your position will be filled. Your family will mourn, but they will go on about their lives. And the same shit you was advocating for in your family, now it's us unto them cousins, same thing. Your siblings going through the same thing. Detach yourself from it. It has nothing to do with you. That's their battles. It's not yours. And when I really started to take my own advice, I seen that I am getting closer to my partner again. the one thing that I feel that kept us this long was that when it comes to loving somebody, you're gonna love each other when you don't want to. You're gonna love each other when you don't like that person. But that's what love is. Love is not perfection. It's not. You gotta see some things through the ugliest times. And when you come out, and if you can make it through there, if you can make it through, I promise you it gets better. It gets better. It's uncomfortable, but it gets better. And because a lot of us don't see healthy in relationships, we just usually see when our parents get to that point where it's like, fuck this shit. Most of us see that, you know, and I don't want my baby to just see that end. No. Another valuable lesson that I learned is that I'm not responsible for my mother and my father. I'm just responsible for me. And I had to learn to stop blaming them because, believe you me, I get so angry about the way that I was raised now that I know how I was raised. And the one thing that, a few things that helps me is that, one, studying and knowing and learning my history and knowing that psychologically it was bound to happen. Generationally, it was bound to happen. So, you know, it makes me not be so angry towards them, but there are times, especially like recently, where I knew I could have handled something better, and I instantly thought about them and blamed them, like, it's their fault that I'm like this. And then I had to, that was a little girl, but the adult showed up and said, hey, listen, we over that. You got to work through that, sis. Yeah, they set the tone. That's how they started you, but that's not how you finish it. So part of the healing process has just have been, now you own your shit, because it's so much easier to point the fingers, you know, but those other three point back at you. So what I'm starting to do is just self-check. The adult, the hello, the grown lady, hey, you're not responsible for the little girl anymore in that sense. And when I say not responsible, I'll say this. That little kid in us, for a lot of us, neglected, abandoned, not listened to, just kind of scooted to the side while the adults try to be adults. And that's just a cycle that I want to end. It really is. And I see it ending with my son because, for one, his parents are older, you know, and we take the time out to teach. And I follow the lead of his dad because he's an amazing teacher. And it was hard at first because I never seen that. I never seen the dad lead. That's some real shit. I never seen the dad lead. The mom always led. My mom always led. So I didn't even know nothing else. And I was trying to lead. And it was like, this not your dance. You can't lead this one. You gotta let dad lead this one. This is what being a stay-at-home dad and a working mom is. And it's okay. Because a lot of times we try to impress people. And I feel like black folk, we big on that. Especially in the era of social media. We try to impress people so much. We strive for perfection so much. For people that we see on the street and barely even speak sometimes. Because trust me, I've seen a few people on social media. And we will look each other dead in the face and will not say anything. The first thing that strikes me is social awkwardness. But I'm just saying. We really... we so... For a lot of us, we have been left to figure it out on our own. And sometimes it's hard to come up out of old habits. And I really had to learn that Dad got this. That with love, sometimes you just, with that love comes, it's supposed to come with that trust as well. And you have to trust that your partner, your companion, they can lead. And I'm learning to trust that he can lead, that he got this. Because I feel like I always have to be in control. Like at all times, I absolutely have to be in control. And I'm learning that, no, being in control doesn't mean that you know what you're doing. And a lot of times I don't know what I'm doing, especially when it comes to Bakari. Dad is home with Bakari during the day, so Dad knows a little more than I. When I get home, I'm getting him at the end of the day. I get home at 5, so from about 5 until we get sleepy, so for like 5 hours. 5 hours, we're together and we rocking out. But Dad has him during the peak of the day, you know? So it's just learning where I fit in as mommy, that get up in the morning and go to work, and this is what my shift entails when I get home with my baby. And I don't even like using a shift, but yeah, my shift entails, you know, getting him settled down and getting him ready for bed. And sometimes Dad will give him a bath while I'm cooking. So, you know, we have this good team effort going on, and I'm so thankful for it. I'm really so gracious for it, because I realized that not all moms have that, you know. They don't have that option of having a dad that, you know, that helps them out. You know, sometimes they're co-parenting, or sometimes that man's laying right next to them. So, you know, I am very fortunate to have this. And I guess I realized once I stopped worrying about everybody else and started worrying more about what was going on my side of the fence, things started to get better. And it feels good. It feels awkward, but it feels good. I never realized how much I've been conditioned to think that this is all I deserve, all the bad things that's happening, overwhelming myself, and, you know, all the things that you just, that just strains the life out of you. I thought that that was all I was worthy of. You know, think about how many of us be like, team, no sleep, nonstop work, da da da. No. You got to go on a vacation. You got to take time to rest. You have to go to a spa day. Black people, we pride ourselves on working so much. But what the fuck? Our ancestors worked a lot against their will. They ain't have the luxury of walking off the plantation and say, all right, boss, I'm done for the day. Hell no. And maybe that was a reach, but I'm just saying. A lot of us really have it in our mind. And I know for me personally, because my mother does work. All my father does work. They don't go on no vacations. My mother's idea of when she take her day off, or when her patient is in the hospital so she doesn't have her patient for that day. My mom's a home health aide, by the way. Shout out to her, because, whew, man, the stuff that they see and experience and how much death, oh, Lord Jesus, the topic for another episode. But anyway, my mom's idea of a day off, when she does get a day off, is like literally putting around the house. And she taught me putting around the house is just when you find stuff to straighten up in the damn house to keep yourself busy. And she might go to the grocery store, and it's her and my little brother. So, and my brother's 14, but he look and sound like a 25-year-old, but so it's just her and him. She go grocery shopping for them, and then that's it, they chilling. But that's just her idea of a day off. And it's like, no, Mom, you should have went and got your nails done, your eyebrows done. You know, you go for a walk. But think about, most of us said just, when our day is off, what we do. And for some of us, don't get me wrong, that might be the only time that we do have available to get shit done, you know, is on our days off. Or we're allowed to leave work early for that day. That's when you're allowed to get the errands done. And that's okay. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when that's, you feel like that's your only option on a day off. Or you know, when they tell you got to take your vacation days because all you ask one to do is work. You got to go somewhere. Man, look on Groupon. Groupon has great deals. When I go on these trips and the ones that I've been going on, even to just down to AC, Groupon, man. Look on Groupon. Look on Travelocity. Look on Expedia. They have package deals. Trust me, it's worth it. If you can work. I know you got some money. If all you're doing is working. Yeah, we have bills. Just create a little account that you set aside and put some money in. Find your goal. Say, for example, you go on Groupon and they say for this trip, to Greece, it's $1,600. Okay. My goal is to get to $1,600. Now break that down. How are you going to, how much money are you going to take out each paycheck to get to that goal? That's all. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. When you start to find those goals, and tackle them, you feel more accomplished, because most of us, we just wake up and we're winging it. We just wake up and we know, get up and go to work. But what else do you like to do other than turning up at the club? What else do you like to do? Because, I mean, for some people, they feel like, I don't work from Monday to Friday, now I'm going to go out and party. Hey, do you? Well, what other things do you like to do for your self-care? Because I know for me, from personal experience, sometimes when I go out after working Monday through Friday, I'm around black folk that's ignorant, and I don't want to be in that environment, you know? So I know for me, that's not always my go-to. For me, I'm like, okay, well, what else can I do on a Friday night? Maybe go to a museum, something. I mean, that might sound corny and cheesy, but I know for me, my self-care, maybe go to a museum or just get up early Saturday morning. I took my baby to the zoo, and that was fun. You have to find things that makes you happy. They really do. What's interesting is when I was thinking about doing this podcast episode, I always go through the episodes in my head and what I think that they're going to sound like. And sometimes I feel like some episodes are rough and harder to get through than others, only because I'm a one-man show. And in being a one-man show, who's also in their head a lot. And that's another lesson learned. Being so hard on myself, you know, and thinking that I can't make mistakes. And that's just going back to what I was speaking on earlier about just that perfection, just being taught to be perfect, you know. And I recognized early on that in my family, I was that relative that was, you know, ask Tasha. And if I didn't know how to do it, I would figure it out. And somehow it worked out. But instead of just saying, like, nah, I don't know how to do that, I would feel like this is my allegiance to my family to make sure I knew how to do this. You know, it's my allegiance to my family to be the fucking relationship guru when behind closed doors, I was like, I'm as hot as a mess. How are y'all asking me for advice? And I don't even have a man. Like, there was a point in time that after college, I graduated. I didn't have nobody. I just was out here wilding. So how the fuck am I going to give y'all relationship advice? Or how am I going to jump in y'all shit with y'all men when I'm not together? And I had to say that to myself. You got to mind your business. You're jumping in stuff that at the end of the day, these people are going to still be together. I remember times where I would go off on my siblings' girlfriends. And then there were times that I would just stand there and I would watch. And I would say to myself, did that make me a punk for just standing there and watching? Or was that little conscious in my head like, bitch, that's not your problem? Because at the end of the day, when you, your mama leave here, they gonna fuck and they gonna go to sleep. Cause that's just what some couples do. They have it out, then they bust one off and they go to bed. I'm being real. That's the reality of it. Because I've done it with my own partner where we go at it. And that's why sometimes you don't involve people in your relationship. Because if that's what y'all do, why are you including other people in it? Because all you're doing is just allowing other people to just chime in. Mind your business. Mind your business and don't share all your business. And I'm learning to do that. Mind my business and don't share all my business. Some chapters just don't need to be read aloud. But yeah, just detaching yourself from shit that don't have nothing to do with you. I promise you, you feel so much better. And you might get looked at a little funny, because I notice I get a funny look occasionally, but I don't care because it's not my problem. Like, why do I need to be involved in that? You know, and I feel like family, especially like my family, we're close-knit. So especially when you have a close-knit family, I feel like with my family, we're like the fucking Braxtons. We just always in each other's business. And it's a lot of girls. It's a lot of girls. And we all cousins. But it's like, because there's so many females, it's easy to just, because females care about stuff like that. Dudes don't care. And I always straddle the fence of being that female, but also being a protector. But then sometimes being a dude who just flat out, like, I don't care. That's relationship shit. They gonna fight. And I feel like now I can stop identifying as a dude when it comes to stuff like that. And just more so just like, hey, that's not my problem. Minding my business and falling back because it don't have nothing to do with me. And a part of your self-care is just knowing that a lot of times it's self. A lot of us don't take time out for ourselves. A lot of us literally do everything for everybody except ourselves. Even when it comes to our husbands, our wives, our children, everything is about them. What about you? You gotta be a healthy you so you could be anything. You know, before you can be anything to anybody, you have to be healthy you. And during this journey, what I realized was that I was being pulled in so many different directions that I lost sight of who I was. And when I had to deal with me, it got dark and it got scary. And sometimes I check out. Sometimes I'll be around family, but I won't be present. I'm not there. And for some family members, they'll take it the wrong way. They'll make it about them. And that's because, honestly, that's what we do. You know, we make things about us and we think it's us. But it the reality don't have nothing to do with you. And I know that because I used to do that. You know, I used to, you know, see a family member that have attitude or they just being really different. And I'd be like, oh, my God, it's me. Oh, my God, it's me. What I'm learning, if you don't directly come to me and say, hey, you made me feel like X, Y, and Z, or you did X, Y, and Z, I'm not owning that. Because a lot of time we attach ourselves to shit that has nothing to do with us. Nothing. And sometimes it's much easier to just think that everything has something to do with you. Because some people, choice of drug is pain. It's chaos. It's drama. When you mind your business, I'm telling you, life gets easier. Because one thing I learned to do was mind my business and stop caring what somebody think. I don't know if I ever shared this before, but I've always been that cousin. Growing up, when my cousins would get involved in fighting and all that shit, I would tell them from the rip, I'm not going. And I didn't care if they thought that I was a bunk. I'm not participating in that because that's stupid. I was always that cousin. No, that's stupid. I'm not doing that. And even now at this age, when I go out and shit pop off, I get so angry because I'm like, first of all, everybody in this room grown. Y'all serious right now? Everybody in this room grown. But that just shows me and I'm not even saying this in a judgy way. I'm in a different space right now. And I'm evolving. And when you take a step back from chaos, you can see it. And so for me, in moments where I see nothing but chaos and black people ready to tear each other down, I feel sorry. And I feel even sorrier when it gets to the point where now we all out here got to put hands on each other because of the trauma, the dysfunction, the trauma, the dysfunction of a lot of us in one room. That's a recipe for disaster. And I've been in plenty of places like that where you can see the trauma, the dysfunction, the insecurities. And I'm not just saying that it's only with black people, don't get me wrong. But I feel like I've been around long enough to see where it's a room full of it, and then when there's something sprinkled in there. I don't know if y'all following me. It's all right. It's my journey. But I see it, and I hate being in that room where it's full of the trauma and full of the dysfunction, because now I got to act out a character, and my character is always being peaceful because I don't see the need to have to fight my brother or my sister, because that's what society has taught us. Kill each other, niggas. Fight each other, niggas. Tear each other down. Record it. That's why when I see videos go viral of, I just seen a video where they was at this gas station. I seen D.L. Hughley posted it, and I want to say Sean King posted it. These Indian men, Middle Eastern men, was fucking these black women up. Fucking them up. And I'm like, first of all, who's recording it? Why are they not helping them? But when you see shit like that, it makes me so sad. But my initial thought is, first of all, we already know we public enemy number one. But when we do this shit to each other, why do you expect for them to? Do you think they would have did that to a bunch of white women? Hell no, they wouldn't have did that to a bunch of white women. So come on. Come on. What is the reason why this is happening to us? Because who the fuck is protecting us? That's why. Who's protecting us? Who's protecting us? We don't even protect us. When does it stop? When do we come together? When these videos go viral, everybody want to advocate. And a lot of times when I see people posting it and I see who posting it, I'm like, I know for a fact that you too goddamn. I know for a fact that you attack your sisters and your brothers. I seen you do it. And I'm not judging, but I'm saying, I used to remember listening to Michael Jackson and The Man in the Mirror. It would make me so sad, and it would make me cry. Only because when I watched the tape, I would see other people crying. You know, the white people would be crying over Michael. But as I got older, I really realized what he was saying. And you got to check you first. You got to look at the man in the mirror first. What are you doing? Because it's so easy to say what everybody around you is doing and not doing. But what are you doing? You got to start with you first, because you're not responsible for nobody else but you. So what are you doing to be a better person? The biggest lesson I have learned is minding your business. Minding your business. And getting your shit together first and foremost. Period. I ain't have nothing big and crazy to say. Like, that's really just it. Mind your business. I promise you. My mom always would say to me when she would tell me that people would like, she'd be talking to somebody and they'd start gossiping about somebody, and she'd be like, I'm not participating in that. I don't care about that. She like, I just want to live my life like it's golden and mind my business. And I used to laugh because that's funny, but when I thought about it, that makes sense. Live your life like it's golden. I love that song, by the way. I love Miss Jill Scott. But live your life and mind your business. And life would be much easier. You don't have to attach yourself to everything. And even going back to, if family may feel like you're being funny, oh well. If you don't come and have a conversation with me face to face, then you can keep with your assumptions. I'm not obligated to do anything. I don't have to take care of you. I don't have to listen to your problems. I'm not obligated to do any of those things. There's no handbook on how to be a great family member. It's none. I mean, it might be, but you follow what I'm saying. And in the handbook, it don't say you have to attach yourself to your family and their problems. You don't have to. Remove yourself. Clean your backyard out. Stop looking over everybody else's fence. I gotta get my butt to work, so I'm gonna end on that note. But I thank you guys for listening to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show, and y'all be blessed. Peace.